Welcome to Growing Older with Gusto. This is your host, Gail Zuergemann, and on this podcast, we deal with something everyone faces, growing older. For years, I've been listening to those who have gone before and even blogging about what to do and how to do it. Now it's my chance to share with you these really useful strategies to living life to the fullest. Whether we're 30, 60, or beyond, Growing Older with Gusto explores how to make the most of your life. In each episode, you'll hear from different people and learn how to prosper at any age and with different types of conditions and go about embracing the future. So grab your earbuds and subscribe into our content as we hope that you too will join us on our journey to finding joy and fulfillment and growing older with gusto. Hello, fellow super agers, and welcome to the podcast Growing Older with Gusto. I am your host, Gail Zuergemann, and we created this podcast to help younger generations learn how to grow older in a positive and productive way. Today, we are turning our attention to the subject of love as we grow older. Our guest on the show is Deb Barisette, and she's been described in the past by the Washington Post as a, quote, creative guru. She has quite an extensive journalistic background, but it was her ability to help women all over the United States to create more adventure and magic and fun into their lives and businesses that led to her role as an intuitive coach. And this experience in inspiring women and clarifying their purpose in life led her to establishing her Chicago-based business called Moxie Creative and Consulting, which she started in 2016. Her new company has allowed her to create the Moxie series of soul care programs for women. These include the Soul Care Masterclass, Advanced Soul Care, and the Moxie Greenhouse. Now, getting back to the subject of love, Deb is a big believer in big love, and so am I. And I want to tell you a case in point. Deb was on the cusp of turning 60 when life took a wild spin. She and her partner of 3 years, Chris, eloped on a frigid, sunny Tuesday in December and got married in the courthouse of downtown Chicago. Their blended family includes two adult daughters from Deb and three from Chris, and they currently live in the Gold Coast neighborhood of downtown Chicago. So welcome to the show, Deb. I know we have a lot of listeners who can't wait to hear what you have to say about love as we grow older with gusto.
Wonderful, Gail. What a wonderful introduction. Thanks so much. And it's really great to be here.
Great. It's great to have you. So let's get started. You write about rewiring our brains for love. How do we do this regardless of our age as we grow older?
Well, the first thing for us to recognize is how mired down in certain conversations we can get. Like if you get a group of single women over 40 or 50 or 60 as I am or beyond, a lot of the predominant conversation is, where are all the good men? They're gone.
Right.
Or the men who are out there, they all want, you know, somebody 20 some years younger. But, you know, the fact that that's the predominant conversation does not make it true. And the other thing is, the more that we think those thoughts that I call, you know, below the line energy, the more dug in we get. And so the wonderful news is that even women who feel pretty mired in that perspective, it is completely possible, Gail, to distinguish some of the thoughts that are not empowering and to learn how to elevate your mood and energy and literally think different thoughts, which I promise you, I have real life results, turns into a different outcome. Big love. Big love is happening.
Okay, let me ask you this. How can women overcome those roadblocks that are created by losses or disappointing relationships?
Well,
what do you say to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I have all the compassion and empathy in the world. I mean, I've had plenty of heartbreak and disappointment in my life. And my view is you don't get to a certain age without that. It's part of the human experience, right? So right. Given that, you know, there's the fact that some women will have suffered devastating loss and disappointment and go on to thrive, you know, like you're in a fabulous relationship. I just got remarried like a couple of weeks shy of my 60th birthday to a guy 9 years younger, who's wonderful. So, you know, there's getting where you're coming from in terms of your energy. If you're kind of resigned or concerned about, you know, is this next guy going to be like the last guy? You know, all that kind of frustration and anger, all that's what is called below the line energy in terms of neuroscience, as opposed to that above the line energy where you're actually, you know, being kind of brave and engaged and open and looking for the gifts. Mm-hmm. And that kind of energy is really attractive. And our bodies sense that, and we can read it even on a Zoom call. You can mm-hmm. tell when someone's in that black hole of doom versus up for life.
Well, so that leads me to the next thought that I had. Like, I think people, especially men, can perceive women who are, quote, what they used to call desperate or having that low energy or negativity, whatever you want to call it. You write about the, quote, price of admission, which I found interesting for finding a great big love. Talk about that. Tell us about that.
You have to be, if you're not willing to take a risk, you know, you got to play to win. You got to put yourself out there. But even before you put yourself out there, you want to have your own mood and energy shined up, right? Mm-hmm. Courage is the first energy above the line. And at the top is love, right? Mm-hmm. So courage is between us and love. And so it takes a willingness to take a stand against previously held or negative disempowering beliefs, and to actually trust, and this is big, to trust that a positive future is possible. There's no guarantee, but that it is possible. And when you're willing to do that, and it does take something, right? But that's where the goodies are. You know, if I had not been willing to risk opening my heart to my now husband, Chris, 4 years ago, despite the fact that I thought, oh, he's younger and, you know, blah, blah, blah. If I hadn't been willing to risk that, I wouldn't have the wonderful relationship and marriage and partner I have now.
I understand. So the term neuroplasticity gets bandied about a lot these days. You talk about it. What is it, and how does it relate to women finding their big love?
Well, back in the 60s, hallelujah, researchers found out that our brains have the ability to change and grow over time. And what I learned when I did certification work in this neurotransformational coaching is that we can literally rewire our brains. We can consciously do that. And here's how I describe it. You know, our thoughts physiologically, our brains are designed so that our thoughts go the path of least resistance. And just like anything in life, you know, like if you think about water flows the path of least resistance, and it'll dig a trench deeper and deeper over time. Well, our thoughts do the same thing, metaphorically speaking. So what I work with people in doing, and what anybody can do, is practice thinking a new thought. So think of it this way. If your thoughts are water and you want to water, you want to grow some flowers, you want to start digging a little rivulet to irrigate that flower bed, the possibility of big love, right? The possibility of a really happy life. And mm-hmm. so the first couple times you start thinking about what you do want and how actually I have a lot to offer, and yes, I am sexy, and yes, there's someone out there waiting for me. You know, the more you practice those kinds of thoughts, the easier it gets. And then before you know it, that's the path of least resistance for your brain. And you are irrigating your metaphoric water, your flower garden, right?
I like that metaphor. That's great. That's great. Talk about three ways, let's say, that women could practice sort of training or retraining their brains for love.
Great.
If they're listening right now, what are three ways?
Great. So one way is to just be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for those habitual negative assessments like, oh, these thighs, right? Or, you know, who would ever be interested in me? Or, you know, what is he really up to? He couldn't be interested in me, or there's nobody out there. The more you notice that and loosen your grip on it, the better. I think of it as like paper training a puppy, where you gently say, no, don't pee on the carpet. We do that out here, right? And so we can train ourselves to stop the negative disempowering thought and think about what we do want in our lives instead.
How do you help women who constantly find fault with men that they meet? Oh, he put the car seat back too far. He looked old. Or, oh, I think he might have spinach in his teeth. Or silly things that, you know, right. If I listened to that, I wouldn't be married. So
yes.
Do you talk about that or address that in your classes?
Yes. So what that really is a defense mechanism. And it's because we're scared. So we're finding reasons that this is not it and he's not it. So I don't have to risk my heart. So the thing to understand is that our ever skittish brains turn any uncertainty into fear. Well, if you think about it, the very act of meeting someone is full of uncertainty. That's kind of the point. You're getting to know each other. You're exploring, right? So if you know your brain is going to want to take you in the direction of making it wrong before it gets off the ground, then you can say, oh, I know what's going on. Lighten up, loosen your grip, and just actually be with this person, right?
Right.
So there's that.
Okay. Now let's talk about your business. I love the title, the name of it, Moxie. Tell us exactly what it is and how women can embrace their inner Moxie in order to find their big love.
Yeah. Well, look, I chose the name Moxie because Moxie has always been one of my favorite words. Moxie, I define it as nerve, verve, know-how, savvy, and pizzazz all in one package, right?
That's great.
And yeah. You know, if there's anything you're going after, if you want to do something amazing with your one wild and precious life, as Mary Oliver calls it, then it's going to take some Moxie, right? To like get out there and live that kind of life that you're dreaming of. So with the soul care programs that I've created, they're part neuroscience, part creativity, innovation principles, and part mindfulness, ancient wisdom. And basically they're designed to help you, first of all, really master some of these skills that we've been talking about today, but also, as I say, to bring your deepest desires to your highest energy. And so one of the ways we do that is by tuning into what are those desires. 90% of the women who come into these programs, if I ask them, what are your deepest desires and dreams? I just get a blank stare, deer in headlights. We aren't asked that very often, and we don't ask ourselves that a lot. And that's one of the things that we do, is really tune into, who am I now? Reinvention, as I define it, is a new true expression of who you are now. Who you are, who I am now, is different from who we were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, definitely 1 year ago. So it takes some looking and tuning into that and our intuition and our inner knowing and wisdom. And that's what we really tap into. And then we look at taking actions that are in alignment with what your soul wants. And some really beautiful things result out of that.
So are you doing this on a one-to-one or in a group setting, or is in today's COVID times, is it internet-based? Talk a little bit about that.
All three of the programs in the Moxie trilogy that you mentioned, starting with the Soul Care Masterclass, are virtual. I started out with a live in-person group here in Chicago, and we had exactly one meeting, and COVID hit and boom, had to pivot. Now the silver lining here, Gail, has been that we've had women from 29 to 80 participate from Honolulu to Boston and everywhere in between. And I will tell you, one of the things that's really fabulous about it, and it's been great for me as well, is the real intimate, wonderful community that forms very quickly in these groups. And so it's the programs are group programs, but included in the masterclass is also some time one-on-one with me. And we've got a soul jam. It's an awesome community building session that I've designed to have deep conversation in a short period of time. And it's just really, really nourishing.
That's great. That's great. Well, you mentioned to me in our conversation that you do have a course that you recommend for newbies. I believe it's called the Master Soul Class One or something. Is that right?
It's the Soul Care Master
Soul Care Master Class One, right?
That's right.
Okay. Right. So what is it and how can people access it?
It's a 1 month program where inside, you know, the safe, luscious space of this community of kindred spirit women, which I curate kind of like a great dinner party. So each of these groups has kind of its own personality and magic that happens. And with the alchemy of that group, we have a 1 month journey we go on together. During that month, we look at your life. We live inside the metaphor of your life as a movie. So the late great Nora Ephron said, you know, above all, be the heroine of your movie, not the victim. And so one of the things that we do is we play with the idea of your life is your movie. And so it's not about fixing anything, regretting things. It's about, okay, here we're this far in the movie. How much more do we have left? So let's make sure that at this critical plot point, something fabulous happens because we're together. And, you know, you get to play with all kinds of things, you know, your location, casting, costumes, sound, set design, and of course, plot, like, what do you want to have happen? So we don't get all caught up in getting it all mapped out in detail. But what happens is, it's a great creativity exercise that gets people loosened up and owning their life as their very own masterpiece, their very own work of art. And they get very much in touch with, these are some of the kinds of experiences I want to have. And I want to, you know, another thing that we do during the month that women just love is, you know how when you have a guest of honor coming, you kind of get things ready, right? You prepare, you think about what would make their experience really nice, right?
Right.
So what we do in the course is we think about, not just think about, we practice treating yourself as a guest of honor in your own life. And that sounds simple, but I'm telling you, first of all, a lot of us struggle a little bit at first with that because we're not used to doing it. But I'm telling you, once women start playing with that idea and practicing, wow. You know, I've had one woman said, I've lost 13 pounds this month out of treating myself.
Wow, that's a lot in 1 month.
Yes, I gotta say, I lost 20 pounds during the pandemic, which was not predictable for me because I'm a stress eater, happy eater, boredom eater, you know, I love to eat, right? And out of treating myself as a guest of honor, I started paying more attention, not from what I shouldn't eat and what was wrong, but what would really honor me and what would taste really good versus what am I going to shove into my mouth to satisfy something, right?
Well, so Deb, you could give Noom a run for their money.
Well, I, you know, it's not a weight loss program.
No, I'm kidding.
But, yeah. No. And, you know, Here's another really fun outcome. It sounds crazy, but you know, I people do things like clean up their medicine cabinet so that when they open that door and that little experience is pleasant and it looks like a little spa as opposed to the place where you threw all your junk. And you know, women start getting out the little frilly bits and wearing them under their clothes just because it makes them feel good. And I'll tell you, here's the thing that gives me the most satisfaction and joy out of doing these programs with women is they start to really own who the heck they are. You know, they get some new level of clarity about their essence and what their life's about and what they want it to be about and all these fabulous things about themselves. And they start to really own that. And, you know, new haircuts happen. They start zhuzhing up and having a lot more fun.
So this has been a great interview. And where can people find you that are listening today?
They can find me I welcome them to my digital home, Gail, which is at itstimeformoxie.com. itstimeformoxie.com. I've got a fun quiz related to love on there just for your listeners. And they can also find out more about the soul care classes and also reach out to me. And they can subscribe to the Moxie Diaries. If you go to the bottom of the page, you can sign up with your email address and you'll get a fun newsletter just about every week from Moxie.
Wow, that's great. I know I've gotten it. They're great. I enjoy it. Thanks. So thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Gail. Same to you. This was wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
Welcome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Growing Older with Gusto. I'm Scott Winteroth, co-producer, and on behalf of Gail Zuckerman and myself, we would like to invite you to our website for additional resources on Growing Older with Gusto, as well as past episodes of the show. Please consider sharing this podcast with a friend. Or if you know someone who is growing older with gusto, please have them contact us so we can interview them on the show. Our contact information is on our website. Thank you. This podcast is a Front and Social production. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.